Hey guys, this is Jason Pye. I'm here on Bloggers Row with Matt Kibbe, the president of Freedom Works and author of Give Us Liberty, the Tea Party Manifesto, along with Dick, former Congressman, former Majority Leader Dick Armey. Matt, thanks for dropping by and talking
to me.
Thanks
for having me.
In case you hear some talking in the background, Jimmy McMillan is behind me. He is the rent is too damn high guy. He just showed up on Bloggers Row, so I apologize for any extra noise. So tell us a little about the book. I read it, or actually read about half of it. I'm going to be writing a review on it soon, even though it's been a couple months since it came out. So tell us a little about the book.
I love it. We wrote it in about 4 or 5 weeks. It was something I wouldn't recommend anyone do that way. But it was right in the milieu of this whole movement. Everything was just emerging. We saw the power of 9/12/09 with a million people showing up. And we were just starting to see the political tidal wave. And what I love most about the book today is I read it, and none of the insanely optimistic, crazy predictions we made about the Tea Party taking over the political process turned out to be false. And if anything, our expectations were understated. And I couldn't be more optimistic today about the potential for this movement, not just to change one political cycle, not just to drive one issue debate, but to really become a cohesive constituency for freedom.
Well, a lot of libertarians, small L libertarians, like myself, have become a little frustrated with the Tea Party movement because of jumping into other ancillary issues. And I know you guys have, at Freedom Works former Majority Leader Armey, have been open about immigration and supporting a guest worker program, or even, you know, as someone like me who believes free markets don't stop at an arbitrary line. It's kind of my view of it, but I know you guys are reluctant to get that kind of really get to the depth of that kind of stuff, and also the other issues in social conservatism. But to libertarians who are skeptical of the Tea Party movement, what do you say to those guys?
I think you have to understand this movement as a leaderless, decentralized, beautiful, chaotic movement that it is. So you will find all sorts of ancillary issues evolving around the edges of that movement. But when you wade through the crowd, when you talk to the folks, you discover that their primary concerns, they're almost singularly focused on the government that's gotten too big, that's spending too much money, that's involved in too many things. And there's an unbelievable respect for the Constitution and the notion that the founders said, we're going to limit government power and we're going to maximize freedom. That's really, I view that as the ultimate American value, and I think this is a values-driven movement because it understands that virtue doesn't come from Washington, virtue doesn't come from legislation, it comes from local people at the local level working in concert. So I think that's the core, and that to me is very libertarian. If you're a conservative, it's very conservative. And if you go into a Tea Party, you find, I love to brag, you find one of everything. We even allow vegetarians in.
Talking about the Republicans, the House Republicans just rolled out a bunch of spending cuts. Some people have kind of been really disappointed with it. It's anywhere from $32 to $78 billion of spending cuts, depending on who you're talking to. Does that go far enough, and how far should they go?
Well, I love this story because this is an example of how you win from the outside pushing in. You can't take any politician at their word. Even there's a lot of good guys that run for office and get elected, but left to their own devices, they can get corrupted by all the wrong incentives inside the Beltway. And on this fight over the Republican promise to cut $100 billion, it's a first step. It's a first step that many in the Republican caucus wanted to back away from, and you're watching Boehner sort of try to balance the demands of the establishment folks in his party and this massive Tea Party class. 70 freshmen that are not going to accept anything less than what they committed to do. And ultimately you saw Boehner fall in line with the Tea Party class. And that's not because we have that huge block of freshmen in the House. It's because that huge block of freshmen in the House has this massive army of people on the outside that are going to hold people accountable.
Right. Looking at the Tea Party movement candidates that won, you have Mike Lee from Utah, Rand Paul from Kentucky, you have Marco Rubio from Florida, and the many in the House as well. Who do you see that has necessarily the most promise, but someone who's going to jump in and make the most impact in the fastest?
It's interesting. I think that's going to be an exciting race for who turns out to be the best legislative entrepreneur. And I've been blown away so far at the skill set that Rand Paul has demonstrated.
Give a good speech here yesterday.
Everyone thought he was going to be this outside bomb throwing guy that was just going to stand there and criticize the process. No, that's not. He's doing the opposite. He's being very aggressive. He actually outflanked Dick Armey and I on how much spending we wanted to cut. I love it when we propose $3 trillion and a U.S. senator actually proposes something more radical. I wish that happened every day.
Well, he like I said yesterday, he gave a great speech, and we're looking forward to some more of the other Tea Party type candidates. Mike Lee speaking here in a little bit. Paul Ryan. What have you thought about his approach to the budget? We just talked about the budget a second ago, but the roadmap for America's future. That you know, all his what he would like to do, not necessarily what is politically viable or feasible. The things he would like to do, do you think that's an answer in the long term?
I do. I think his roadmap is probably the most serious look at the total spending problem, going beyond discretionary spending and these mandatory programs and entitlements, which is supposedly the third rail. But you can't seriously tackle the national debt unless you look at everything. Everything's got to be on the table. By the way, that includes defense as well. And I think Paul gets the global picture, and this is going to be the next test for the Tea Party movement. He's going to offer a budget resolution, and he's getting whipsawed back and forth by the various members of his caucus, many of whom think he's going too far. But we need to make Paul look reasonable, and we need to expand the horizon of what's doable. And that's step one, but what people haven't noticed is that John Boehner gave Paul Ryan the authority to come back at the end of the budget year and impose caps if the regular process doesn't get there. That's important.
What's next for the Tea Party movement in 2020?
I think the first thing you got to look at is the U.S. Senate. The Senate map in this last cycle was stacked against us. The Senate map in 2012 is stacked with us. And there's a lot of guys we can look at picking off, both in primaries. If there's Rhino Republicans we need to get, we need to look at that. But there's also some Democrats that are very vulnerable. They're already retiring in droves, it seems like. We've got to look at that.
Here's a specific race, because a lot of people have been kind of looking at Orrin Hatch and saying, this guy, you know, has not really voted for Medicare Part D, he voted for bailouts, he voted for all these things that... conservatives are not poor, at least in theory, are not poor. So, and now, but the Tea Party movement, Tea Party Express or Tea Party Patriots, I can't remember which one, is saying, no, we're going to leave them alone.
Express.
Mike Lee.
And they've stepped back from that, yeah.
They have said. Senator Mike Lee has said that he's not going to endorse. Is that one that maybe you guys are looking at? Maybe we can get a Tea Party guy in there?
We're definitely looking at Utah, and I think it's a wonderful opportunity. I think the opportunities there, Senator Hatch is keenly aware of his vulnerability, and he's sort of got this 35-year voting record that hangs around his neck like an albatross. The challenge will be, one, making sure that the Tea Party movement in Utah is sophisticated enough to continue to dominate the caucus process, and then we need a good candidate. And so far, I haven't seen that candidate emerge. I know there's some like Jason Chaffetz that are looking. If he jumps, we have an opportunity to do that.
Matt, thank you so much for taking some time out. I love the sideburns. I sport sideburns. You got the pork chop, mutton chops as well.
You got to go with that. And it's a story, one of our oldest activists, he's been with us almost 20 years now. I'm going to go speak at the Lincoln Day dinner in North Carolina in a couple of weeks. And he said, because of your chops, we're bringing young people into this meeting for the first time that I remember. So
awesome.
I think it's chops you can believe in.
Awesome. Chops you can believe in. That is the quote of the day. Thank you very much, man. I appreciate it.
Thank you.